Hi there, this is Cale Clark. Welcome back to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This is the last in our series on the divine design, God's purpose, God's plan throughout the entire Bible. And we looked at how one possible way you could look at this in the Old Testament is through this fourfold design of God. And it really comes through this conversation between God and Moses in Exodus chapter 5, 22 to 6, verse 8. And these four components of God's plan are deliverance or salvation, number two, community, number three, the knowledge of God, experiential knowledge of God, and number four, the abundant life, the good life. We saw how that can really be applied to the entire Old Testament. And then we started asking the question, can it be applied to the New as well? And we looked at the Gospel of Matthew in our last episode, and today we're going to look at another biblical book overall. It's always good sometimes to get a bird's eye view of a book in the Bible as opposed to a worm's eye view, and by that I mean going through every verse, and that's really important too. I love to dig in, but it's also good to take a step back sometime and ask the big questions, get an overview from 30,000 feet, and that's kind of what we're going to do with St. Paul's letter to the Romans, because along with the Gospel of Matthew, it really is connected to the Old Testament. There's some other books in the New Testament as well that you could say the same about. The letter to the Hebrews, the book of Revelation, both of those books quote the Old Testament quite a bit as well, as does Matthew and Romans. But I'm going to focus on Romans in particular right now and ask the question, does it really correspond to these four themes of God's purpose? And I think the answer is yes. And once again, really looking at the work of the late Old Testament scholar Elmer Martens, who wrote a great book about this called God's Design. It's been published in at least three different editions. It's really stood the test of time. And I do agree with Dr. Martens, that when you look at St. Paul's letter to the Romans, it really could be seen as a commentary on God's design for humanity. Chapters 1 through 5 of Romans are really about deliverance or salvation from sin. And then this concept of the experience of God happens in the next few chapters, 6, 7, and 8. Then we have this the topic of community. And that really comes in chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans. And then finally, this concept of the abundant life, the good life. Well, that comes through chapters 12 through 15. And then 16 is just kind of like last greetings kind of thing in Romans. So I do think it really does correspond to this purpose. And a lot of people say that Romans, the letter to the Romans, is their favorite book in the New Testament. I can't tell you how many people I've run into in my career who have said, if I was stranded on a desert island and I could only take one book of the Bible with me, which one would I take? I'd probably take Romans. You hear this time and time again. It's really a fruit of the brilliant mind of the Apostle Paul. And it's got so much great theology. But some people have said, one writer has said, that it really is a summary of all of the Old Testament. That's an interesting way to look at the letter to the Romans. It's an introduction to the Old Testament. Even though it's a New Testament book, it could really be seen that way. So it could be the key to understanding the relationship between the Old Testament books and the New Testament books. And Elmer Martin says, if you read Romans as a whole, and really in those days, if you were to get the original copy of the letter to the Romans, you kind of read it all in one sitting. You wouldn't be reading it over a period of weeks, you know, every Mass, let's read a little bit of it here and there. You'd read the whole thing, first of all, as a letter. And when you read it as a whole, it does really echo the message of Exodus chapter 5 and 6, this conversation between God and Moses. Well, let's look at the purpose of God in the letter to the Romans. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. Well, this is what St. Paul says in verse 2 of Romans, chapter 1, verse 2. He says that the gospel is something that God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And there's also a couple of doxologies in the letter to the Romans. And what's a doxology? Well, the word literally means a word of glory. Doxa means glory in Greek, and logos means word. So a doxology is a word of glory. We have one at the end of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. To thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. That's this word of glory, this doxology that was tacked on to the Our Father. Well, we got a couple of these in the letter to the Romans as well. Here's the first one. It's in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. It says, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. God's ways are certainly far above what we can imagine. And then we have also in this doxology, really a quote from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 40:13, it says, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? So that's kind of echoed here. Another one that we have in the letter to the Romans is in chapter 16. It's at the very end of the book in verses 25 and 26. This concept that the mystery that was secret for ages past has now been made manifest in Jesus Christ. Glory, the glory of God. Remember, it's a word of glory, this doxology. Glory belongs to the only wise God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So those are really two doxologies that talk about the salvation that God provides. It's in continuity with the Old Testament. We also see God's purpose in Romans 2. And that maybe the most famous verse in the letter to the Romans, Romans 8:28, certainly a verse I've quoted a lot. I turn to it for encouragement time and time again. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his what? His purpose. His purpose. So God does have a design. He does have a purpose. And this purpose, obviously, is for all people in the world, Jews and Gentiles alike. That's one of the big themes of Romans, how God brings all people together in this one community of the church. And in some ways, Paul wrote this letter to explain that, how the Gentiles fit into God's plan for the world. So let's look in a little bit more detail at these four themes, the four components of God's design for his kingdom. It was true in the Old Testament. It's true in the New. We see it in the letter to the Romans. Deliverance, community, knowledge of God, and the abundant life. Let's look at deliverance first of all. Well, in those first five chapters of Romans, chapters 1 through 5, you see this, the theme of God's salvation. And if you've read Romans 1 and 2, you know how bleak the picture looks, how bleak the picture of human sin really is. Paul lays it out there, and you can check it out for yourself. It is just absolutely brutal, the depths that humanity can fall into without God. But this is what Paul says in chapter 1. In verses 16 and 17, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live." And really when Paul says that, he hits on a big theme in the New Testament, the righteousness of God. Now, what is this really all about? It's not just a legal term. It's not just Jesus, God's Son, takes your place in the great courtroom. God looks at Jesus and declares you not guilty on account of what he has done for you. It's this concept of being in right relationship with Yahweh, with God. It's also in, we talked about Matthew in the last episode, it's in the Gospel of Matthew, it's really all over the place. Matthew has been called the Gospel of Righteousness. Joseph at the beginning of Matthew is described as a righteous man. And then we have Jesus approaching John the Baptist in chapter 3, and he says, I want to get baptized by you. I'm kind of paraphrasing here, obviously. And John says, wait a minute, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, hang on, let it be this way for now, in order that all righteousness might be fulfilled. And then the Sermon on the Mount, which is really this dialogue, this teaching about the righteous life, Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So this theme of being right with God is paramount. And it's in the letter to the Romans as well. It's really all about, again, God's faithfulness to us. God makes us righteous. He turns us into the kind of people that are like him, that are righteous like him. So if there is some distance between that image and where you're at right now, if there's some distance between you and God, who moved? It wasn't God. He's always faithful to his people. It's always us, right, who want to turn away from him with our sins. We want to turn back and ask him for his forgiveness time and time again. So again, when you look at the beginning of Romans in chapter 1, chapter 2, beginning of chapter 3, you see the absolute wickedness of humanity without God. And yet God wants to save us. And how does he do that? Well, he sends his son, Jesus Christ. We trust in him and his saving work. This is what Paul says in Romans 3:22. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. That's the good news of the gospel. He's just laid out all the bad news about the wickedness of humanity and how God's wrath will eventually be revealed against it. But there's the good news of the gospel too. The righteousness of God is available for all who want it, for all who believe. And to believe is not simply to know something intellectually. It means to become obedient to. This is what Jesus preached at the beginning of his ministry. Repent and believe in the good news. Well, to believe means to turn your life around. Not just to know intellectually, but to become obedient to. You're walking in one direction, you repent, you do a 180, you come back to God. And so this is what it's all about. And the salvation that Jesus gives us is very much like what God was doing in the book of Exodus, that original conversation between God and Moses in Exodus 5 and 6. God says, I will deliver my people. And Jesus delivers us from a much greater foe than the Egyptians and Pharaoh, from sin, the devil himself, through his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection from the dead. All right, so we've talked about deliverance in Romans, but let's look at now the aspect of community. Does God form a community? Is his design to form a people in the new covenant? And yes, that is the case. In fact, when you read the letter to the Romans, this is absolutely crucial through chapters 9 through 11. And this deals with this whole question of how God brings Jew and Gentile together in the one church, and also God's plan for all Israel. One of the things he says there, Paul, is that all Israel will be saved somehow. We don't know exactly how that's going to happen. That doesn't mean every single Israelite, of course. People still have an individual choice whether they turn away from God or not. But somehow, he hasn't forgotten the covenant that he made with his people in the Old Testament time. God's purpose, his word, his promises are irrevocable. That's one of the things that Paul says in Romans. So the early Christians, obviously, in Rome are working out that very relationship among themselves. So this is what it's all about. He calls us to community. The Gentiles, the Jews, that dividing wall of hostility has been broken down, and they've been brought together, saved as a people. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, just to give you a little taste of this. Paul says, those who are not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call my beloved. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called children of the living God. That's an incredible quote. And really what Paul's doing there is he's drawing on the words of the prophet Hosea. Paul's really quoting the prophet Hosea, and he's saying, this is now being fulfilled in the age of the church, in the time of the church, God's covenant community. The other thing, too, is when you read Romans chapter 12, it talks about spiritual gifts. It's a really important chapter, and these gifts are given to every believer, not for their own benefit, but for the benefit of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, the church. You can read about this in Romans 12, verse 3 and following. So we are all interdependent, just like the parts of our physical body We need each other to survive and to thrive. At the end of the letter, towards the end of the letter, in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, Paul says, "Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." So this is important because hospitality is another sign that this supernatural community, which is not like communities in secular society where people gather together on the basis of shared interests or some sort of shared benefit. People in the church can be from disparate ethnic backgrounds, disparate socioeconomic backgrounds, have all kinds of different talents and abilities, but we come together because we are all children of God, brought together under the mantle of Mary in the church. So Romans 9 through 11 are really good at looking at this question of community, which is the second aspect of God's plan. What about the knowledge of God? The third step, knowledge of God, the experiential knowledge of God. It's not just knowing about Him, it's knowing Him. Well, this intimacy with God that we can have through Christ Jesus is written in large capital letters, really, in the letter to the Romans. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. This is what Paul says in Romans 1:17. I read this verse to you earlier. The righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. And that word faith can really mean trust. It's trust in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. So God wants to set things right in our lives. And when we embrace Jesus, when we believe in Him, we trust Him, we get to know Him. And so this is all over chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 in the letter to the Romans. You can read this on your own, especially in chapter 6 and 7. He talks about this. We have been united with Him, Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 5. And there's a real intimacy there between the individual Catholic Christian and the Lord Jesus. We see this especially in chapter 8. It's a beautiful chapter. It's often been quoted. He says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are called sons of God, Romans 8:14. In the very next verse, in 8:15, there's that famous line, because we've been adopted supernaturally into the family of God, we can call out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And when we talk about Abba, we're not talking about a Swedish pop band from the 1970s. We're talking about God as our Father. Now, some people say, and this is what Jesus used as well as a term for the Father, Abba, Father. He used this in the Garden of Gethsemane, for example. A lot of people say it means daddy in Aramaic. It's an Aramaic word, the street language that Jesus spoke. I think that's been a bit overdone. It probably just means Father. But nonetheless, there's that intimacy between God and His children. And the Spirit of God makes it possible because we're in the Spirit. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. Romans 8, verse 9. So this is the glory of the gospel, to know Christ, to be known by Him. Paul could say that this intimate relationship is so close, this bond so unbreakable. That's why he says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, I am convinced that neither death nor life nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, those are powerful words, very encouraging words. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. Okay, the four components of God's design once again. You're probably tired of me saying this by now, but I want to drill it in. Repetition is the mother of learning. Number one, deliverance or salvation. Number two, community. Number three, knowledge of God, experiential knowledge. And the fourth thing is the abundant life, the good life. Is this in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, which has again been called really a great introduction to the Old Testament? And the answer is yes, yes. Now, land is more of a symbol in the New Testament. It was an actual piece of land in the Old Covenant time, the land of Canaan that God designed to give his people to live in. It's more symbolic in the new, but a lot of the concepts are very, very transferable. So remember, the land in the Old Testament was really a symbol for this abundant life, a land flowing with milk and honey. So God says, I'm going to give you the land as a gift, but in return, there's a way that you're going to live in the land. There's an order that you're going to have to follow. And that in turn, if you follow this, you will be blessed even more as you live together in this land. Well, we do see this in the letter to the Romans as well. He says this in Romans 8:6, to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. That sounds pretty good. We want the good life. We want the abundant life. We also want peace. Peace with one another, peace with God. That's really what the kingdom of God is all about, having a right relationship with God on the vertical plane, if you will, and a right relationship with one another on the horizontal plane. But it's a gift. It's a gift. We can't earn this. God gives it to us as a grace. And so this is the great quality of life. As Elmer Martins puts it, with the God dimension included. We've got to have a God dimension to our life. So many people go through life as if they're going through a tunnel. We have all driven through tunnels, you know, on turnpikes and things like that. We're underground for a little while. And that's the way a lot of people live their lives. They're shut off to anything supernatural. The life above, as it were, it can never get into the tunnel that they're living in. But we want the God dimension in our lives. And so when you look at the Old Testament, the land was given as a gift, but then there was a lifestyle that God's people had to live in the land. Once they got the land, what were you supposed to do in the land? Well, the Old Testament says you're supposed to do a few things. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1, it says you've got to worship. When you come into the land, you will do a few different things. You're going to worship God, number one. You're going to have a certain behavior towards one another. And that has to do with all kinds of different things. Food, we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Government, how should we look at governing authority? Well, Paul talks about the exact same things in the letter to the Romans. I'm not saying he was looking at the book of Deuteronomy as some kind of a template, but the similarities are unavoidable. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? He talks about acceptable spiritual worship. What is it? It's offering your body as a living sacrifice. Worship is in and through the body, the temple of the body. That's incredible. In Romans chapter 12, he talks about right conduct towards one another, how you're supposed to behave towards one another, love, hospitality. It's all there. Tolerating one another, having humility towards one another. What about government? That was big in the book of Deuteronomy. Well, guess what? It's in Romans too. Chapter 13 of Romans is all about how do you relate to the civil authorities. He says, pay your taxes, you know, even if they seem unfair. Unless the government's doing something that prohibits your worship of God, obey the government in temporal matters. He talks even about food, just like it talks about food in the Pentateuch. Paul talks about how do you deal with this concept of clean and unclean foods. That's in chapter 14. Amazing. Well, anyways, the point of this is very similar to what God wanted to say in the Old Testament. I'm giving you the land as a gift, and in that land, you're going to live righteously. Well, God gives us the gift of salvation. He brings us into this universal church. He says you're going to inherit the earth. The whole earth is going to belong to you, and there's a certain lifestyle that you're going to live in that land. So this is really what it's all about. And I do think that Romans is a great summary of this fourfold plan for deliverance. We see this in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. The experiential knowledge of God. Paul talks about this in chapters 6 through 8. This idea of community, chapters 9 through 11. And finally, the land. And by that, the abundant life is what I'm talking about. What's the lifestyle that believers are supposed to live with one another? We see this in chapters 12 through 15. So how about that? That design that comes from that conversation between God and Moses way back in Exodus chapter 5 and 6, it's also true in the letter to the Romans. It's a little bit like a jazz musician. You could take Miles Davis and John Coltrane, you can give them the same piece of music. They're going to put their own interpretation, their own little spin, their own flavor on it, but it's still the same piece of music. That's what we have here with God's plan in the Old Testament and the New. And I'm going to close here with a quote from Dr. Elmer Martins. It really ties it all together. He says, quote, "All four components of divine design, deliverance, community, experiential knowledge, and land, life, and blessing, receive a particular fulfillment in Christ. But the design has not yet come to full realization. For mankind's deliverance from sin, while decisive through Christ, is not immediately total. The association and community with God's people, while wonderfully satisfying, is not without its negatives, even its pains. The knowledge of God, we confess, is partial, for we see through a glass darkly. Life abundant, of which land is a symbol, is available for the believer, for the Christian, but it is not his in perfection. In Jesus Christ, God's design through the ages is caught and concentrated as if in a prism in history. But beyond history is eternity. That design will be not only fully plain then, but fully realized." End of quote. Now, that's a beautiful quote, and it's true. Our experience of this design is imperfect in this world, but God is still active in this world, and it'll come to its fulfillment on the other side of the curtain in eternity. Look forward to that. We try to speed that coming of Jesus Christ by the way we live our lives today according to his design. For The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio, I'm your host, Cale Clark. Please share the podcast with a friend through relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. You can also get the podcast wherever you usually get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, we're everywhere. And you can email the program, faith@relevantradio.com. If you've got topic suggestions, books of the Bible that you find interesting, that maybe some things that have always been head scratchers for you, we'll try to explain them on the show. And right now, I'm going to tease what's coming up next. For the next few episodes, we're going to dive into St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's a beautiful letter to start off the year with because it's a letter about joy in the most unlikely of circumstances. And I kind of feel like that's where we find ourselves right now. So you're not going to want to miss this short letter of St. Paul that really packs a powerful punch that'll last a long time in your life. Until next time, I'm Cale Clark. We'll see you on The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio.